Turn your Bibles, Revelation chapter 9. Hey, are you guys, how would you define yourself? There's a lot of these tests out there. There's a lot of quotes. Let me give you a couple. Let's truly find out who you are this morning, okay? Are you an optimist? Are you a pessimist? All right, let me give you five test questions. Look on your back of your bulletin right there. Write down just A or B, A or B, okay? And here's the five questions. So you're going to answer, all right? And then I'll give you the kind of the updates here and tell you that if you can define yourself as an optimist or a pessimist, all right? You are going someplace that morning, going to work, and you get a speeding ticket. The worst part is you forgot your wallet. Also, you know what that means, an extra ticket of some sort. Sometimes you get a speeding ticket in the morning going to work, you forget your wallet at home. You think, now you need to put yourself in this situation. Do you think like this? All right, which way, what are you going to say to yourself? Ah, this must not be my day. Or would you say, I am so unlucky? Which is it? There's an optimist and a pessimist. I don't want you to figure it out. I just want you to write down, look at, think you drive in, you get a ticket, you don't have your wallet. What are you going to say? This must not be my day. Or B, I'm so unlucky. Write your answer down. Question number two. You get an A on an exam. You take a test. You get an A on an exam. And you think to yourself, wow, I'm smart. Or wow, I was prepared. Which do you say? You get an exam back, and you get an A on it, and you think, look at that. You go, wow, I'm smart, or wow, I was prepared. Number three, you start a new workout program, which we all need to, exercise program, and the next day you are really, really sore. Do you say A? Wow, I must have worked out hard yesterday. Or B, do you say, wow, I must be out of shape? Which do you say? If that's you, which do you say? Start a new workout program. The next day you go, oh, I'm so sore. Do you say, wow, I must have worked out hard yesterday? Or wow, I must be out of shape? Number four, a stranger on the street compliments your outfit. Says, boy, it's a nice outfit. And number A, you say, I must have good fashion sense. Or B, I must be wearing a nice outfit today. Which comes to your mind? It's really a cool trick, and I put that one in there especially for the girls because I thought they might not, always my stuff's guy-centered a lot of times, but that's girl-centered. You new outfit on, do you say, I must have good fashion sense, or do I say B, I'm wearing a nice outfit today. Number five, last question. You find a dollar on the street. Pretty simple. Find a dollar on the street, you say, hey, I must be pretty observant. Or B, hey, I'm lucky today. Which do you say? Find a dollar on the street and you go, hey, I must be pretty observant. Or B, hey, I'm lucky today. Which do you say? Okay, you ready for the answers? You are a true, true, true optimist if every one of your answers is A. The optimist answer is A. The pessimist answer is B. You are a true, true pessimist if every one of your answers is B, all right? And if you're a mix there, you got a little bit of both going there for you, all right? And that's what I had, a little bit of both going. Here's your quotes about pessimists and optimists. I like what Harry Truman said. A pessimist is one who makes difficulties of his opportunities. A pessimist is one that makes difficulties of his opportunities. An optimist is one that makes opportunities of his difficulties. Pretty good. Oscar Wilde, not crazy about a lot of his stuff, but he said this, we are all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars. We're all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars. Charlie Chaplin said, you'll never find a rainbow if you're looking down. Some people, grumble that roses have thorns. This man, Mr. Carr, says, I am grateful that thorns have roses. Some people grumble that roses have thorns. I'm grateful that thorns have roses. Now, this deal with optimism and pessimism, I always tell my kids, hey, I'm not an optimist or a pessimist. I'm a realist. I'm going to give you the straight facts. You know what I'm saying? My aunt said something the other day. I call her Sissy. We grew up together, about 2 years older than me, but Sandy Bird, my aunt, she said this, and I liked what she said, and I wrote it down here, and some of you will like it also. You know, this deal, are you a half empty glass person or a half full glass? That's how you tell the difference. And Sis said, you know, is the glass half empty or half full? She says, I'm just wondering who left the glass out. That's a realist, right? I'm not worried about half empty, half full. Who left it out? Come on, put it away. This Bible that you hold in your laps, and I pray you bring it with you. I pray you study it, but I hope and pray you realize, Timber Hill Baptist, you need to have your own Bible. We go through the Bible. We look at the Bible. We read the Bible. We stay in the Bible. And you need to have your own Bible sitting in your lap. But this Bible that you have from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 22:21, let me ask you folks something. Is that thing all the messages, all the stuff in there, is it all positive? You know, there's a popular preacher on TV and on radio, and I'm not going to sit here and bash him, because I have heard from his own lips, and if you hear him from his own lips or from his writings, quotes, Joel Osteen will tell you he's not a preacher per se. Not a teacher, pastor, per se. He's more of a positive speaker. A positive motivator. He'll travel around and he will tell you, I'm just a motivator. You Christians, is there some negative stuff in that Bible? If you're going to preach that whole Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21 or 22:21... let me tell you something. Some of your messages, some of your points, some of your stuff is going to be negative. And I don't like preaching negative, but I kind of looked at my own heart and life and I said, Scott, you at Nice Lee need to speak a couple negative messages a year. You need to try to speak on hell once a year. You know, churches are getting away from talking about hell. It's just so negative. It's just so negative. And so people kind of get away from it. I'm a science fiction buff. I love Star Wars, Star Trek, anything. I love the apocalypse movies. You know, you've got 2012, you've got War of the Worlds, you've got I Am Legend, you've got TV series like Revolution. Some of you are watching the zombies thriller Walking Dead. The past summer blockbuster was World War Z about zombies. You know, all those things have in common, Day After Tomorrow. They all have the same thing in common. It's the end of the world. And mankind is dying off and things are taking over and it's just pitiful trying to survive on planet Earth. And people get into those things and people watch those things, and I've watched some of those things. Do you Christians realize, and do people of the world realize, that those they watch that stuff and they walk out and they're like, "Woo, boy, wasn't that good? Let's go get a bite to eat. Let's go get dessert." I want you folks to realize this. Teenagers, realize this. We watch those movies. We watch those TV shows. Do you realize the tribulation is going to be a lot like that? And people are fascinated with it today. The zombie thing is just huge right now. And yet, if I'm looking in that Bible and I look during the time of the tribulation, do you realize how much bad stuff is happening during that time? There is an event that takes place at the fifth trumpet. That it is what horror films are made after. Somebody in Hollywood trying to invent this stuff has nothing on the Bible. This is absolute sheer terror. I would define Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, as possibly the five most scariest months on planet Earth ever, from the time of creation. The demons that come out of the pit of hell in Revelation chapter 9 are here on planet Earth for one reason: to mentally disable, to emotionally disable the people who are living on planet Earth. Do you realize that? It is absolute. Their only purpose for coming out of the pits of hell is to terrify and to shock and to put fear in all the people of planet Earth at that point. That's what their purpose is. So I've got to imagine that five months, if it's not the scariest, it's one of the most scariest. It's top five of the most scariest times on planet Earth. Yeah, Noah's flood would be up there. Yeah, I got it. Meteors coming down. Yeah. But this is sheer terror when these demon locusts come out, when they come out of this pit. It's emotional insanity for the non-believers on planet Earth. Dr. Sears years ago gave me a book by Dr. Criswell from down in Texas. And this story was in that book on page 85. Dr. Criswell tells of a cowboy named Jim White that used to give tours and would give tours of the Old West. And Criswell said, Jim White told the story, and Criswell heard this as a little boy. He said, I was out riding my horse one day out in the Wild West out there. And he said, all of a sudden I saw smoke coming out of the ground a ways off. And so I kind of rode up there a couple more miles to investigate this smoke that's coming out of the ground. And he said, I got up there, and the closer I got, I realized that was not smoke. That was millions of bats coming out of a hole of the ground. And yet it was so dark, it looked like smoke. Satan is going to unleash a horde of demon locusts. And they're not just going to attack places in the Middle East. They're going to attack the map's still up from the missions conference. It's going to attack the entire globe. Revelation chapter 9, one of the scariest moments possibly in your Bible. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Not everything in your Bible there in your lap is positive. And if you are going to preach the whole counsel of God, you are going to preach some really negative messages. But for the believer, this should not be negative at all. All right? For the believer. We'll talk more about that here in a minute. Let's read Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it is commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of like gold, and their faces were faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of a woman, and teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as they were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is an angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. And one woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And that's an amazing verse. That's just the first of three. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, you put this in your Bible when John the Apostle wrote it and he saw the apocalypse on planet Earth, the end of life, the end of humanity, the earth burning up. And so, Lord, he saw this, and he saw this 5 month period. So, Lord, we pray as Christians today, you put it in your Bible for us to read and to study and to meditate on and to let it motivate us. And so, Lord, help us to gain what we need to gain from this passage this morning. Lord God, take care of the people here and all the prayer requests. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, help this to be their morning that they get saved. If there's one here that needs to make another decision, help this to be their morning that they do that. Lord, we love you. Forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was going to preach this message on March 2nd. If you folks remember, March 2nd, the entire church that morning, we were snowed in, every one of us. It piled on and ice and all kinds of stuff. And so this is the message I had prepared. I haven't preached it, since then. We go into the mission conference, and, I almost, to be honest with you folks, I almost didn't preach it. I just said, forget it. It didn't happen. I'm not going to do it. And again, we live in a day we just don't want to be negative. We want to talk about happy things and good things, and people come to Christ just because they want to come to Christ because it's all good. And yet, boy, the Lord talked quite a bit about hell. And John the Apostle wrote about this portion of Scripture in these 5 months, and I don't think he wrote it so that it's just for the people in the tribulation. Oh, turn to Revelation 9, 1 through 12, and you people in the tribulation can see this. No, it's for us. It's for our learning today. He put it there for us. And so what does John the Apostle and what does the Holy Spirit want us to learn from this passage this morning? Let's go ahead and throw up the outline, if we can, here on the board. The purpose of the demon locusts in Revelation 9, 1 through 12. Let's throw up the theme. One of the scariest moments in all the Bible is the unleashing of the demon locusts of Revelation chapter 9. Here's their description. 7 points here this morning of their description. Number one, they're satanic followers, these demons are. Now, they have their leader. Satan is not their leader. He unleashes them. You look in your Bible. I saw a star fall from heaven that indicates that this is, look in verse 1, I saw the star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him it was given the key of the bottomless pit. And so Satan has this key, but God is the authority. Now, folks, let me ask you something. How bad would it be if we went in the state of Ohio and opened up all the county jails, all the city jails, and all the prisons in Ohio at one time? Let everybody loose. Would you guys feel safe? Everything's loose. Everybody's loose. Now, there's probably some good guys and gals in there that did something wrong, but you know there are some real, real creeps in those jails. Really bad people that just want to harm somebody. Now, I want you to understand, God is saying those demons are so bad, they're going to be locked up until the tribulation. I'm not even letting them out. That's how bad those guys are. Now, Satan is the one that unleashes them. They have their own leader, Abaddon or Apollyon. He is going to lead them. The book of Proverbs tell us the locusts have no leader, but they know what they're doing. Well, this set of locusts actually does. And this leader is going to lead them to humanity, wherever humanity is at that point. You church people, we're gone. You realize that? I'm so thankful for that. We're gone. So left side to right side, you're gone. If you're saved this morning and the Lord comes back this afternoon, you're going to go. You're gone. You're out of here. The people who are left are going to go through this. So Christian, you're gone. You're out of here. But I bet you got some neighbors that are going to go through it. And I bet you have some family members that are going to go through it. And you might have a wife or a husband or a son or a daughter that's going to go through it. And so this church, our church, and the people that make up the church and everything the Holy Spirit is inside of on planet Earth is going to be removed from planet Earth. It literally will become a godless Earth. Literally. Two witnesses are going to come down and begin to witness. Why? There's no more people with the Holy Spirit inside of them here on planet Earth. They're all gone. Godless. The church is holding back the corruption on planet Earth right now. What happens when the church is gone? This place just goes to pot. Talk about going to hell in a handbasket. That's it. It's gone. So these demons are going to do Satan's bidding and follow their leader, Abaddon or Apollyon. Symbolically, point number two, symbolically, what are we looking at? Well, it's very interesting. When you go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, you're going to find out you've got some other beasts involved. Now, these are angelic cherubim. And these angelic cherubim, we are told, has four faces. They have a face of a lion, they have a face of an ox, they have a face of a man, they have a face of an eagle. You Christians know that this represents the Gospels. It represents the Lord as a king. It represents the Lord as a sacrifice. It represents the Lord as a man. He came down, born in Bethlehem, and was there and died as a man, rose again as a man. But it's also as an eagle. We understand his sovereignty. He is high above us. And he is God. And so these beasts represent, this is the angelic cherubim. What you have here this morning is the satanic cherubim. The satanic cherubim. What do they look like? Well, you look down at your Bible there and it talks about them, a horse prepared for battle. Do you guys see that there? So let's talk about this horse. A horse on planet Earth is a symbol of defiance. It's a symbol of war. It's almost as hell is declaring war on the unbelievers of planet Earth. You see the face of a man. It talks about a man's face. You know what's interesting about all the animals, and I'm not calling mankind an animal, but mankind's face can show intelligence, or lack thereof, right? A man's face can show, like any other animal, our faces show emotion. You see that on faces, correct? So a man's face can show intelligence. It shows emotion. The long hair of a woman. These demons are seductive. They might be in some ways, when you see them afar off, attractive. They might have the power to lure you into a room and then begin to sting you. We don't know. The character of a horse, the face of a man, and yet they are locusts, 17-year locusts. Isn't that interesting? The 17-year locust that we all dread, and it's probably coming up here in just about, I think, 7 more years, they'll be back. And these locusts normally come and they flood our Ohio region and they eat the leaves and they break out branches and all kinds of havoc. Over in the Middle East in 1951, they had a locust outbreak. Saudi Arabia and Iraq and Iran had so many locusts, every piece of vegetation around that region was ate all the way to the ground, almost to the roots. So these locusts, we are told, we're told they're not going after leaves. They're going after men and women. Lost men and women. They have the last characteristic there, besides the scorpion, and we'll talk more about the scorpion here in a minute. But the last one is a lion. Teeth of a lion. I didn't realize this. You know those lizards? That they say a lizard's bite, it's not so much the bite, but it's the bacteria that the lizard delivers into your arm, that the thing doesn't heal. You know, the lion's the same way. A lion, when it bites you, yeah, it's going to dismember you or something's going to get hurt, but it's also flesh-eating bacteria that the wound doesn't heal. So these scorpions have these teeth of a lion, and when a lion grabs on, nobody's going to take its prey away from him. And so that bite, the infection, and the lasting for months. And these locusts are not hungry for leaves. They are hungry for unregenerate, godless, unsaved men and women. That's who they're hungry for. It is terrifying, this satanic cherub that comes out of the bottom, that's been locked away in the bottom pits of hell. Strategically, the strategy of these locusts, you look at your Bible, it says, who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. You guys see that there? Verse 4. You know, there will be people saved during the tribulation time. There will be people saved during the tribulation time. They weren't saved before. The church, the people with the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, everything with the Holy Spirit on the inside of them is gone at the rapture. What's left is a godless planet. But then people, two witnesses come down and people start to be saved. The 144,000 Jews realize on the person they crucified back over 2,000 years ago is the one who is the true Messiah. And they begin to be witnesses. And people come and be saved. But the people who are defying God and saying, God, I don't want you. And you look through the book of Revelations, there are times where they just defy God. They just will not turn. And all these plagues are coming on the people of planet Earth, just like they came on Pharaoh back in Egypt, back with Moses. And the reason was, and the Bible said, and Pharaoh repented not. God is sending these plagues, wanting people to repent and turn to Him, and they won't do it. So the strategy is, they go after the godless, unregenerate, Christ-rejecting men and women of planet Earth. And buddy, they lay it to them. They sting them. How long? That's point number 4. That's the stamina. It's interesting. The stamina is a normal locust life. They'll come in around May. They'll leave around September. I'm not sure there's going to be any difference here. It talks about 5 months in your Bible. And so coming in May, I don't know if during one of the 7 years of tribulation right there, that's going to be May to September. Same thing. But it's going to be, the stamina is for 5 months of stinging. And it's all about anguish of mind and spirit. Now, if you've watched enough science fiction movies like I have, you know, normally the human beings come up with something at the end and they're going to be able to stop this thing. Even go back, you guys go back in the 80s and watch Ghostbusters. You know what I'm saying? The Ghostbusters. and these spirits are coming out of the graves and all. And I'm telling you, listen, we look at this and we laugh at 2012. We laugh at Ghostbusters. We laugh at I Am Legend. We laugh at all this stuff. Listen, it is going to be bad during the tribulation. The day after tomorrow. It's going to be bad. And these spirits coming out. But in the end, the Ghostbusters are able to use their guns and able to get these ghosts and all this stuff. Listen, mankind will do their best to stop these locusts. But there is no medicine. There is no weaponry. There is nothing that is going to stop did you notice these locusts? What do they have on their head? Did you guys see that? What do they have? It's a crown. You know, when we get crowns, it's normally because we've won something. Won the kingship, won a battle, won something. That's what this is. These guys cannot be defeated. This science fiction movie will not end with a good ending. There is no stopping these demon locusts. They have a crown. They will not be stopped. No medicines, no guns, nothing spiritual you can do. They will not be stopped. My wife, years ago, during the time when she was probably about 16, was mowing grass for her dad. And Jody get on her tractor, and ride that tractor around. This is a funny story. And Jody got out there during the summer of the 17-year locust. Well, do you guys remember what are the locusts? One of the things about locusts, they're attracted to sound. So you're out mowing the grass. So little Jody is out there, 16 years old, hopping around, mowing the grass, and all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, whoosh, they're all coming down. And my wife jumped off that tractor, ran in the house, and called her dad. I'm not mowing. That's it. And her dad said, okay, well, did you shut the mower off? No, I didn't shut the mower off. It's out there running, and it's going to just run out of gas. I'm not going back out there to shut that thing off. She got away. Jody got away from the locusts. There's no getting away from these locusts. They're not only material beings, they're spiritual beings. You remember how the Lord, after his resurrection, walked through the walls? The atoms, the molecules of his body were able to change and walk through something solid. You're dealing with spiritual beings out of hell. Yeah, they're material, and yeah, they're going to sting, and yeah, they're real, but they also have the ability to go through walls. Can you imagine sitting in your kitchen? I mean, no matter where you're at right now, I want you to imagine this right now. I want you to put yourself in your kitchen, at your kitchen table. Normally, we've got a window of some sort around our kitchen, and I want you to be sitting there eating a bowl of cereal. And I want you to look out your window and see this horse, this creature. Now, we don't know if these locusts are this big. We really don't. Or if they're this big. Or if they're as big as a horse. I mean, literally as big as a horse. We don't know, but I want you to sit there and I want you to look out your window, and whatever the size, I want you to see that thing. And the closer you look, that you say, man, that's got like that locust, whatever, that's got like a woman's hair. Look at the teeth on that sucker. Oh, man, look at the face. It looks like a man. And then you're at the window and that thing comes through the wall and comes in your kitchen and begins to sting you. And you try to get it away. You run down in the basement. You run under the couches down there. You run in the bathrooms. And every place you go, that thing comes with you. And you swat it and you hit it and you bash it and you try to get away. You try to go underwater. You do everything you can. And that thing just continues to sting you until it's done. It is an amazing, I told you, it is some of the most terrifying time because the whole purpose of these 5 months is to terrify you. The Bible says in verse 6, and in those days men shall seek death, and what? Of course you're going to seek death. The terror is killing you, the mental anguish and your attitude, you just want to die. And yet your Bible, my Bible, verse 6 says, and in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. You can't even commit suicide during these 5 months. It's literally, literally terrifying. You see the stamina. You look at the strength of these guys. The strength. It talks about a breastplate. You guys see that breastplate of iron? Now, yeah, and that speaks of their strength. They won't be stopped. But I think it goes more than that. I think that iron covers their hearts. And I think it's symbolic that these guys are going to have no mercy. You know, even your enemies sometimes will have mercy on you. Even people who don't like you have mercy on you. Whoever will have mercy on you. These guys, there is no mercy. They will sting you and sting you and sting you and hurt you until you have no sanity left. But they'll quit when they want to quit. No mercy. There's a swiftness, point number 6, about these guys. The Bible talks about their wings as wings of chariots and the sound of chariots and horses running to battle. You'll be at your work if people are still working during that tribulation time, at your house, and all of a sudden you will hear something. And you'll hear them long before you see them. And it's rumbling and it's like wind. And I think that's the way you want to see these guys. They travel so quickly. And you'll hear them coming and you'll see the sky black. And people are screaming. And yet they get right on top of you. You know, folks, I got to be honest with you. I saw something yesterday that I thought, you know, it has got to be close to the end of the world. It really does. We got home from West Virginia yesterday, early evening, and one of the news programs was on, and I had that show on, and they started talking about all these selfies. You guys know what a selfie is? People take a picture of themselves with people. You know, people are eight. Listen, they're eight. And you might take a selfie. I'm not criticizing you, all right? All of us have been taking selfies for many years. That was called a picture. You know, we all do that on vacation or something. But now it's a selfie. It's the camera's this far away and you take it. And these things are popular. Ellen DeGeneres, Jerry Falwell used to call her the degenerate. You know, he said she took a selfie of it. It was the most famous selfie ever right now. They're at the Oscars. Last week, President Obama, I think, went to a Boston game or something like that, and he was with David Ortiz. And President Obama and David Ortiz, famous baseball player, taking a selfie. I mean, everybody's taking selfies. But the news program went on to say that because of the idea of selfies now, people taking so many of them, do you realize plastic surgery has grown in America in certain spots? That there are Hollywood stars that literally are taking selfies of themselves and looking at themselves and saying, I've got to have plastic surgery because my selfie doesn't look right. And they spend thousands of dollars. Here we struggle in Hamilton, Ohio, trying to make a living, and they spend thousands of dollars. Imagine spending $30,000, $40,000 to have your jaw increased or your nose shrunk up. Just so you look better in your selfie. I'm telling you, I looked at that and thought, this world's getting ready to end. That is amazing. You know why? I mean, when 2 Timothy, and Paul's not kidding here, know this. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. He's telling you what will the last days look like. And he's going to give you a big laundry list of what it's going to look like. Do you realize the first thing he says? You want to know you're in the last days? First thing he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Click. And I don't like the way this looks, and so I'm going to go spend $30,000, $40,000, $80,000 and have my face operated on. Don't give it so somebody can eat. Don't give it to missions so somebody can hear the gospel. Don't give it to some homeless shelter so they can build more rooms for these people. No, I'm going to get it so my nose shrinks down just a little bit. We're living in the last days. And in the last of the last days, during the tribulation time, you've got these monsters for 5 months who are roaming planet Earth. And if you're not saved today, listen, the Lord comes back, you're left here, you're going to see these bad boys. Number seven, their sting. It's interesting, the Lord likens them to a scorpion. Scorpion stings for the most part. For the most part. Now, they can be deadly, but for the most part, scorpion stings are not fatal. They're scary, but they're normal conditions. They're not fatal. They hurt extremely bad. A scorpion's sting does. And mentally, Satan is enjoying the pain and anguish of God's greatest creation, the people who are made after His image. And Satan watches the torture. And Abaddon, Apollyon, leads them around the earth and tells people where to go. And boy, it's... people just want to die and they can't even kill themselves. If you're not saved today, I don't know what else I can say to you besides this. Jesus Christ loved you enough that He came from heaven, was born in a manger, lived a sinless life, and died on a cross for you. I don't know what else to say. That you don't have to go through this. This doesn't have to be part of your biography and part of your life. Jesus Christ loves you so much that He died for you. And what did He ask you? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Good night, nurse. Come on. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. But it's a heart belief that I believe Jesus Christ is who He says He is. He rose from the dead. And if I put my faith and trust in that Christ, I get the grace of God. I don't earn that thing. It is the absolute grace of God. And that I truly believe. That's it. That's all you're asked to do. And you're lost today. And you hear this horrible, almost science fiction movie that is not science fiction. It's real. And it's going to happen. And you say, I'm not going to get saved. Well, you know what? There's a whole lot of these people, too, that aren't going to get saved, believe it or not, even after being stung. So, you know what? I'm not surprised. And yet God loves you enough to die for you, and He just asks you to believe. The bubonic plague happened in the 1600s and 1666. The bubonic plague hit London. Those people at that time thought that it was carried in the air. And so they took their fireplaces and they stuffed in their pipes and they smoked up their house. The College of Physicians told the men to go around and shoot off their firearms to make the air smoky. And so over London there was this black smoke. But yet masses of people were still dying from the bubonic plague. They had no idea. If you could go back at that time and tell them, look, it's microorganisms, it's the rats, it's the germs, it's this spreading this stuff. It's the fleas. It's not the air. It's the fleas in the air. It's the rats. They wouldn't have believed you. And they hid in their homes for months on end to avoid the bubonic plague. And I'm telling you right now, you're not going to hide from these things. You're not going to hide from them. During the middle of the tribulation, they will come into your homes. They will come into your workplaces. They'll come into wherever you're at, and they will sting you until they're done. Not you're done. You won't die. And I'm telling you, the only way to avoid this is that, you know, there are some things. I mean, this is just, it's horrible. The only way you're going to avoid this is if you accept Christ as your Savior and you know Him. Why don't you do that today? Let's bow our heads and close our heads bowed, eyes closed.